if you stay in your comfort zone right now during this AI revolution, you are signing your own resignation letter. And I'm joined by AI expert and EU Digital Ambassador Nicholas Babin to discuss this very important topic. Comfort zone is a massive one. We are entrenched in this new world of AI. It's not new, but we're entrenched in this world. And people are putting off the learning journey. They're putting off getting stuck in to this new tech. And the people that are going to be winning are the ones that are taking their knowledge to the next level. And that can be doing courses. It can be just literally opening up your Google Gemini, your Grok, your Claude, whatever it is, and using it for a new task, right? So what do you think, Nicholas, about this? It's a massive topic. Really exciting, I think.
It's a massive topic because it's definitely around AI, because that's where we live today. And that's what we experience today. But it's also anything around, you know, your personal life, your professional life, anything. I remember back in 2007, I think it was, I was head of communication and product marketing for Sony Europe. We're in Berlin. The world was changing. Remember 2007, that's when social media was starting. I mean, LinkedIn started in 2003. I think it was 2006 or 7 for Twitter. So we could see that the world was changing. And I was challenging my team, so European team. And I remember kind of telling them, start thinking outside the box. Start thinking outside of your comfort zone. And that's the first time I used it. I had read it somewhere in an article. And I was telling them, I said, you know, I'm obviously not from Berlin, because being French, but I had been based in Berlin for 3 years then. And every morning, I used to leave my home. I used to live in between Berlin and Potsdam, which was about half an hour drive. And every morning, I would take a different route, because I wanted to really start thinking outside of my comfort zone, outside of my norm. And, you know, my route was always the same for like 3 years. And then one day I thought, you know, hang on, just don't be comfortable, because the more comfortable you are, the worse it's going to get for the company, being Sony. And I really wanted everybody to start thinking outside of the box and to start thinking, what could I do differently in order to match what people are requesting now and is required from a company like Sony. And ever since, so I'm talking about almost 20 years now, ever since I've always tried to be uncomfortable in some areas. I'm almost 60 years old, like in a couple of months. And even today, I'm doing it myself. Like I'm going to join we have this election coming up in March with for the mayor. And in my own hometown, the mayor has contacted me, asked me if I would join him to help make our town a smart city. And I've never done politics. I've never been elected in my life. And at 60 years of age, I'm going to go for it, even though I'm extremely uncomfortable about it. But why am I doing it? Because I need to learn. I need to grow. If you think that's it, you know, I don't need to learn anymore, I don't need to grow, then as you said, you resign. You write your own resignation letter, or
yeah,
you basically get yourself ready for retirement and stop being useful to society.
Yeah.
So AI is definitely pushing us towards that, because it was, you know, I compare it very often to when Wikipedia came out. For teachers, professors, all these, it was a very uncomfortable moment, because suddenly students could have access to information, to content, to knowledge that before professors and teachers were giving. That was their value, right? And then suddenly that content, that knowledge was available to all with just a simple request, simple search. It's exactly the same thing with AI, right? Suddenly you have access to a tool that there to augment humans. And you have people who are still going to stay in their comfort zone and do copy and paste of what they can get out of ChatGPT, a Claude, a Grok, whatever, Gemini, without adding any value, any human value, right? These people, unfortunately, you know, because they don't add value, what's going to happen to them? And, you know, it's either they reinvent themselves or they are going to disappear. We're in a world today where AI is everywhere. I mean, it's, you know, you turn on your mobile phone, you look, the phone is going to recognize you. That's based on AI. Everything you do, everything is based on AI. So I think the worst mistake today will be to think that AI is not something that you need to be concerned about. I mean, be concerned is the wrong word, but it's not something that you need to be aware of and that you can forget about it. I have a lot of memories and examples of people thinking when the computer was available to everyone, saying, "Oh, you know, I'm 60 years old. I don't need to use a computer." Well, guess what? Doctors, bankers, anybody who basically decided not to go with the flow basically had to disappear because the world was changing without them. And that's exactly what you're talking about here with the comfort zone. If you stay in your comfort zone, you're going to disappear and you're not going to go with the flow and you're not going to go with the changing world that we're experiencing today.
I couldn't agree more with what you've just said. It's really incredible to have this digital assistant that can do basically every single thing that you need help with. This digital assistant can help you with at the moment, except for, you know, folding your sheets and stuff. But that's on the way.
Yeah, of course. A robot
was launched. I was looking at a post on Instagram the other day. There's a robot that does 96% accuracy on folding sheets, right? So think about that. You go to take your clothes out of the washing machine, you put them in the dryer, then you have your robot. It's going to do all of that, right? In the next 10 years, there are going to be so many people going, what happened? How are we going to become successful when we've lost all of these foundational moments in time of actually learning how to work with the AI? Because right now, there's no better time to get stuck in, right? You know, you can write code, you can fix your security at home. You could even launch a business fixing people's PCs, right? You could launch so many different businesses right now. And that's also a problem, is because then we become a lack of focus, right? But I was listening to an old Audible book earlier, and you know, and it was talking about focus and actually how we need to, yes, you need to focus, but you also don't need to turn down opportunities, because you've got to be flexible enough still so that if an opportunity hits your desk that is going to take you in the right direction with your career, that you should take it. So I find the place where we're at particularly interesting. It's particularly exciting, but that's really only for the people that take the time to use it instead of just writing emails. Because look, you know, everyone can write an email with it. You don't even, you know, you can plug your email into it and it will send emails for you. And I did that the other day, and that was a big, big mistake. It was a huge mistake. Because I clicked this button that said, base all the conversations on previous conversations and learn from prior conversations. So then the AI thought it was being really clever, and it reached out to one of my people and said, how about February the 18th at 3 or February the 19th at 4? And the guy was, and then there was a whole load of rubbish that it had written underneath. And I was just like, and the guy replied, thankfully, and he's like, what are you talking about? But
no, because
without this experiment,
quiet, yeah.
But without this experiment, we are not able to understand what needs changing, what needs refining, and what needs to be worked on. And the tools are not going to improve. So it's like AI will kill itself. If we don't experiment with it, we don't use it, it's going to kill itself, right? And it will eat itself because the costs are going to be too expensive. But already OpenAI has turned around and said, we're going to do adverts within the stream. So
absolutely,
it's not going away, because these companies will have monetization models. So you're stuck with it, right? However, it's going to be used. And the way you're going to be ahead of everybody else is by, you know, utilizing your company, you know, utilizing that area between where you're comfortable and where you're really uncomfortable, and just finding a sort of, I'm not going to say a happy medium between comfort zone and non-comfort zone, because there isn't one. You're either in outside of your comfort zone or you're not.
That's it.
Right? And but it you know, it comes back to like the network first manifesto that I'm getting involved with. Like, I'm launching a new podcast series and show there, you know, getting involved with a lot of organizational staff, lots of different projects that are appearing, that, and my brain is going, wow, look at these projects, this looks really exciting. And I'm learning about how other people think, how other people want to grow, and what they want to do in their careers. And the more you learn about other people and what they're doing, the better it is for your life, in my personal opinion.
Absolutely. And the only thing that I would say differently is not something that we're experiencing starting now. It's something that we've been experiencing for 10 years. Because about 10 years ago, there was this very subtle, almost invisible shift, in my opinion, where technology became totally part of us. Look, you would enter a car, you would have GPS, even before Waze or Google Maps, right? You would go vote, or you would have an ID card, which would have an NFC chip in it. And so, but, you know, it was so subtle that nobody actually realized it. Like even Gmail, you were using Gmail, you had AI in it because Gmail was suggesting for you some answers already. I don't know if you remember that about 10 years ago, suddenly you had below your screen some mm-hmm. some suggestions. And that was based on AI, that was predictive. We didn't have LLMs at the time, large language models, to make sure everybody understands what I'm talking about, which is an AI model. But we had already a first glance of what AI could give us. So for 10 years, you know, you had the people who were totally against it and said, no, I'm going to stay in my comfort zone. Even if they wouldn't say it, that was exactly what they were doing. But, you know, I'm staying in my comfort zone and I don't care about this new technology. I want a paper map. I have respect for that. Absolutely. No problem. But if today, you know, I mean, paper maps are not even updated anymore. I mean, like very, very rarely or like every once every 2 years or whatever.
Bad fit. Paper maps used to get lost all the time.
Yeah.
Like, look
that's
at where
exactly
we're at
it.
Now. It's crazy.
Yeah. And like, you make the wrong turn on a paper map and you really have to work hard to go back with GPS. You turn right, you turn left. I mean, when I launched the first GPS system, 1996, you should have seen the face of people entering the car. Suddenly the car will be like, take the roundabout and take the second exit. They will be like, what? I even had a friend at the time, we were going to a stag night with some friends before a wedding. And he said, I was driving, obviously, so I didn't drink, but they had a little bit of drink before. And he was like, just follow the lady. It's not the lady, it's the car talking. So it was just, you know, now you look back and it's funny. But at the time, I remember driving and thinking, I'm not following the lady. It's a technology that basically is telling me where to go.
Right.
And it's exactly it. You know, it's your, the comfort zone is something that's psychologically very obviously comfortable for everyone, but very dangerous. It was okay 50 years ago to stay your whole career in the comfort zone. When I joined IBM, I'm talking about 1986, so quite a long time ago now. They said, I remember I signed my work contract and I said, congratulations, you have a job for life. 1986, right? And I was thinking, I don't want a job for life. I was really happy to work with IBM. I was a programmer on AS400, mini systems that at the time, top of the technology, unbelievable. That was the perception that's what people wanted. 5 years ago, but 5 years later, IBM basically changed and it was not a job for life anymore. And actually they laid off a lot of people because job for life, oh, comfortable. I'm not going to work as hard as I'm supposed to because I know mm-hmm. I have a job for life, right? That's
good
exactly
point.
What we're talking about with AI and with the new technology. And today we're basically focusing on AI, and when I mean AI, I mean LLMs, the large language models. But
mostly, yeah.
What's coming up? You know, next year, there will be something different, definitely, because the only change from 100 years ago and all the changes with electricity, with, you know, all the technology that came out, is the fact that now it's much faster. The pace has exploded compared to what we were used to 100 years ago. So we have no idea what's going to happen next year. And next year, you know, again, you'll need to get out of your comfort zone or think, well, actually, you know, the technology is there to replace me. So I'm just going to use it and let myself resign. That's going.
Well,
back
then
to
this is part of the point, isn't it? It's if you outsource your thinking to AI,
that's exactly
then you are going to be replaceable. And unfortunately, a lot of the people who have just graduated with their degrees are the ones that, in some cases, are staying within businesses and they don't really know what they're doing. So then the businesses are creating problems for themselves, like McKinsey have, I think it's McKinsey, wasn't it? McKinsey,
yep,
who did a report,
yes.
Right? The AI ran a report. The people reading it didn't really know what they were doing. And the staff obviously had messed that up because you need to steer the AI. You're not outsourcing your thinking to the AI. You are using it as a valuable assistant to guide you on your journey. And I think actually it's going to be a wonderful thing. I personally believe that it's recreating the working environment, right? Because now we can, you know, I can run a report now. I can get all the marketing, chief marketers' history of, you know, best campaigns, best imagery, best this, best that. I can run a report and say, okay, I want to create an image, which is what I've been doing. I just started that this week because I wanted to just see as an experiment. I found an image someone had shared on LinkedIn and I was like, wow, that's a cool image. And then I took the image and I was like, I want you to make a better one. And I want you to base it on this model, that model, this style of copywriting. It needs to stand out more. It needs to fit my brand. And I upload stuff. And, you know, so it's like there are so many capabilities that you watching this, you're not learning. You're not doing these things. You're just using AI to write you an email where you could have written it yourself in like the same amount of time and not had to mess around and edit it, you know? And you've just got to be careful that it's not spouting a load of junk. And there are areas where you can use it, but you have to understand where you should not use it. And this is part of the comfort zone, right? Because actually, until you understand how far you can push what you're doing, you're not going to manage to move forwards. Because understanding capabilities is like it's just a massive thing, yeah, to be honest.
But now, you know, with hindsight, there's something I always like to say in my conferences. I ask people, I say, you know, who do you think the biggest visionary of all time was? So I get, you know, Steve Jobs, I get Bill Gates, I get, and I say, actually, it was Walt Disney. And so people think, you know, Walt Disney, really? I said, yeah, what about Pinocchio? The end of Pinocchio, what was it? They all stayed in their comfort zone. They all wanted to play. They all wanted to, you know, have fun and not think anymore. What did they become?
Interesting.
Donkeys.
Interesting. I would have said Leonardo da Vinci myself.
Okay, so that's even further.
Right. But that's only because I know more about Leonardo da Vinci than I do.
No, here, you know, I'm just talking, you know, all the conferences I give are basically around AI and around new technologies and around adoption of new technologies. So, yeah, you're right. I could have, because Leonardo da Vinci as well, he invented the helicopter. He did a lot of innovative stuff. That's unbelievable. But here, it's true that I'm thinking more about something that I know everybody will know, because when you talk about Pinocchio, you know the end. Everybody knows the end. We've all watched it, you know, and it's like suddenly they all become
donkeys. Yeah, they
donkeys.
Go back, don't they? Yeah, they're
donkeys, but, and then they are sold. They are sold for to have this terrible life of pulling.
Right,
It's you know, easy but life.
Then you could apply that to what's it called? Like all sorts of these stories. There are so many stories.
Of course.
But this one, fascinating.
Think about it. It's like Pinocchio came out 1945, 1950. No chance of even thinking about artificial intelligence because Alan Turing hadn't come up with the word. Actually, it was not even him who came up with the word, but the idea of a machine thinking was Alan Turing in the 50s. So Pinocchio came out before that, maybe 1930, I think it was Pinocchio. It was like a really long time ago. And then suddenly, you know, you think about it and you realize, well, what he was describing was what we mean by the comfort zone. Obviously, a little bit different because, you know, they were teenagers who were not studying at school, different story, different environment, different timing. But the overall idea behind it is very similar. And I always get your reaction in the conferences and people are like, why is he talking about Pinocchio? And then they think, well, actually, it does make sense. And then, so I get people to react and so that's why I like to be a bit provocative, a bit disruptive on the idea. But it's very true. It's very true. And it's today what I'm keep telling people is please, please, please. I do it. Everybody, you know, should do it. I'm not saying I'm an example, but I'm saying that, you know, at 60 years of age, I'm going to start a new venture, something that I'm very, very uncomfortable about because I've never done it.
Whilst you're public, you're also quite quite reserved in your character. So being really stepping out of that and being more vocal, more visible is a fear. But that's the same with me. I'm just about to build a massive network, right?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Really, really grow my network and grow my engagement. And I should have done it years ago, right? I should have done it when the opportunity was there years ago, but there was something holding me back. And everybody has something holding them back. We're all Absolutely. Scared of failure. We're all scared to lose. We're all scared to look stupid. It's perfectly normal, right? But do you know what? If you don't make mistakes, if you're looking at me, looking into this camera here, and you're like, well, I'm not sure I can do that. I don't know if I can do this. It's like, look, if you don't, the pain is going to be worse, right? This is the problem, yeah? The pain of being irrelevant is far more than the pain of looking dumb for 5 minutes, then no one's going to remember that ever. Yeah. And that's something that I constantly remind myself of every single day, because it's like, actually, are the people that are going to criticize you? This is what I said to someone the other day, someone who was on the podcast a few weeks ago, and she didn't like the headline that I posted because it was like really like brutal headline, yeah, on the image. And she was like, oh, you can't post that. And I was just like, too late. But I posted it. And she's like, well, what about the people and what they think? I said, well, it's tough. The people that actually think about you, right, in that way, clearly don't matter. They're clearly not going to pay your bills, and they're clearly not going to have any impact on your life. And it's just like the people that really are the thought leaders, the real people that are at the front of this revolution, because we're at a revolution now.
Yes.
The people that are at the front of that, they're going to be like, okay, so he messed up, she messed up, they did that, they did this. And it just comes back to what I'm doing with all the personal branding, executive presence. It's like, if you're sitting there and you're like, well, you know, I don't really have an executive presence. I'm not really doing anything with AI. I'm not standing up and becoming an asset for the company that I work for or that I own or that I manage. Well, you're gonna suffer, because you're gonna be obsolete, right? You will sign your own resignation letter, because you're gonna become irrelevant, right?
Exactly. You're 100% right about this. And that's why, you know, it's never nice to be disruptive and aggressive, not aggressive, you know, to challenge people like this, but actually I think it's for their own best, because you realize, because you've had some experiences, I've had some experiences, and we know how important it is. And so that's why I like to share my own experience and tell people, hang on, you need to be aware of this. That's why the more you get out of your comfort zone, the more things you do that really you're not used to, the better your life is going to be. And you're going to give yourself more years in the professional, personal world, because you need to be curious. That's really, getting out of your comfort zone is easy for people who are curious. And it's really something really difficult for people who are happy the way they are for the rest of their lives. IBM, you have a job for life. That's why I always give that example as well. And because you and I also share that experience. And I know you worked for IBM in the UK. I worked for IBM in France. And that's exactly it. And that's the reason why IBM has struggled so much at some stage, because he had so many people who had a job for life.
Yeah. It's becoming obsolete is scary. It even scares me. Why do you think I do all this work, right? It frightens me.
I'm much older than you.
And it's not like an irrational fear. This is the point, is that we're not insane. Like, this isn't some sort of programming that has like come from our childhood. This is a reality of life right now. And that's what scares me. It scares a lot of people. And that's why they listen to us and they are taking action, right? So yeah, thank you, Nicholas. It's always been
a pleasure.
I will drop some links below for things that we're working on, that if you might want to get involved, you can check out what we are doing.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.